God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is Wednesday, the 21st day of December, 2011, and you're listening to our midweek worship. Our sermon is preached by our guest speaker, Brother Kenneth Bittinger, pastor of the Victory Baptist Church in Tallahena, Oklahoma. Brother Bittinger's sermon is entitled, The Unsung Hero of Christmas. So thanks for listening, and we know you'll be blessed from the preaching of God's Word.
Good evening. If you'll find Matthew chapter 1, I'll be there in just a little bit, and we'll hopefully share a Christmas message with you. It is a privilege to be able to be back. Somebody said, well, I seen you Sunday morning, and you must have really scattered out of here. Well, I really did, but I needed to be back Sunday night to Tallahena for the evening service. We had our Christmas program last Sunday night, and Danny had requested if I could to make it back. The only problem with it is we start at 5 down there, and it's a good 4.5-hour, 5-hour drive, and so I had to get out of here. And you might wonder why I'm back then tonight. Well, I had told Teresa Underwood that if Joe passed away, I would participate in that funeral. And I'm going to be participating in it tomorrow. And I got to tell you this. The title of my message tonight is The Unsung Hero of Christmas. And I'll tell the story tomorrow, but many of you folks didn't even know, probably know who Joe Underwood was, some of you younger ones, but Joe Underwood was one of the, on the pulpit committee when I first laid eyes on Ponca City in 1968. And there was a heroic act that he did that this church was stayed on course, and they even allowed me to come and candidate and vote. And I will always remember Joe Underwood for not just that one act, but he was a man for 25 years that I was pastor here that I never had to question where he stood on anything. I knew he stood right behind me. And the Lord allowed him, my wife and I came in on Friday. Help me, my memory is getting bad. We came in on Friday and immediately went over to the nursing home, and he was still alive. The nurse said he had not responded to anything since he'd been out there. And, of course, the hospital had determined he'd probably never regain his come out of that coma. And we visited with him, and I had prayer with him. And then shortly thereafter, about an hour later, they contacted us here at the Christmas banquet Friday night and said that he had passed away. And I think my wife voiced it so well. She said, I think the Lord kept him alive just so you could get in and see him. And I really do. I'm grateful to God for allowing me that opportunity to see him before he passed into glory. We wouldn't want to bring him back, but I tell you what, those of us that knew him and grew to love him, we will miss him like everything. I never ever came to Ponca City to visit my family, but what I didn't go by and try and visit with Joe and Teresa Underwood. And then something else I need to announce that some of you may not have heard. I have resigned the church in Tallahena pending their voting Danny in next Sunday night. And I told him, if you don't vote him in, then I'm back here, because they asked me what I'm going to do. Well, I've talked to our church. Some of you were around in, back 20 or 18 years ago. When we resigned here, I had no idea what we were going to do. But I am grateful for the opportunity to go down to Tallahena and help birth a church down there. It had already been started, but God used my wife and I in Central Baptist Church in a very real way to help bring that church into existence. It's doing well, And Danny's been with me 7 years. And that's how long Brother Waterloo was with me before the church voted him in here. He was a youth director and associate pastor. And it's time to do that down there. And I'm not at all worried about what God's going to do with Ken Bittinger. He's been taking good care of me and my family for 46 years. We've been pastoring, and God's taken excellent care of us, and I know he's going to take excellent care. I have no idea what I'm going to do. Their church is allowing me to, our properties are all paid off down there, and they said I can stay in that house that we're living in, and as long as I can take care of myself, and then they will do whatever's necessary to help take care of me in those last days. But I hope, and I know it's the prayer of every one of you, that we never get to the place where we have to, move in a nursing home or have our kids have to wait on us. I just have committed myself to God and begged him not to allow that to happen, even though all of our kids have said, well, Dad, don't worry about what's going to happen to you, okay? But Central Baptist Church has been such a blessing to Bea and I, and we have appreciated your support all the years that I've been down there. This church has sent support to help my wife. And I, even when I contacted and said I no longer needed it, of course, I think my son-in-law might have had a little something to do with it, but they said as long as we can, we're going to continue to send support. We feel like that they owed us something. And let me assure you, you don't owe me anything, and you don't, but I praise God for the support that you've had. If God has a place for a deaf preacher, I'm available. But otherwise, we're just going to play it one week at a time and one month at a time and one year at a time until the Lord comes back. And by the way, that's exactly what you're going to do. I mean, you make all your plans for the future you want. When it comes time for us to depart this life, we're going to depart. It's an appointment. All right, that's another message. I want you to follow along with me as I read the Christmas story from Matthew's account in chapter 1, beginning in verse number 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, and for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Heavenly Father, I do ask your blessings upon me now as I stand and proclaim the word of God. Father, I have no idea how many times we have read the Christmas story and preached on it and taught on it. And yet every time we read it, it blesses our hearts. I pray that you'd bless the thoughts you've given me to share here this evening, and that they could be a blessing and a help to each one of us, especially at this time of the year. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I wish you could have been there with me last Sunday night. I did get back in time for the Christmas program, and several of our young couples have worked with our children for the Christmas program for the last almost 2.5 months, meeting on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, and this year the kids all had speaking parts they had to memorize. And they all did such an excellent job. But there was one young man, little Ricky, I call him. He's not little anymore. Actually, he got to go to youth camp with us last year. And Ricky is a pure-blood Choctaw Indian boy, and led his granddad to the Lord. And his granddad's been bringing him to church all these many years as he's grown up. And he has to be, what, 12 now? Anyway, I said, Ricky, you got a part in the program? I'm Joseph. And he was so proud to have the part of playing Joseph. And I asked him if he knew who Joseph was. And he said, yeah, it was Jesus' dad. And I said, well, not really. He was a surrogate dad. And so then I had the privilege of explaining to him what a surrogate dad is. I don't know whether you've ever thought or ever read it run through your mind about the fact that when God chose to give his son to this world, that he had to seek out especially a young virgin maiden to be the mother to the Christ child. But don't you know that he paid specific care then also to who would be the surrogate father, who this person that we're introduced to as Joseph was? I mean, if you knew right now, some of you young couples that got some kids, you knew that something's going to happen to you or something going to happen to your wife and yourself, and you had to choose out somebody to take charge of raising your children, of bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Don't you know this would take on a whole new meaning, would it not, as we had to select one? Now, you're going to say, well, you know, God knows everything. He knew all about Joseph. Well, that may be true, but let me tell you something. Joseph did not know anything about this. I mean, when we are introduced to him in verse number 18 and 19, we get a glimpse of who this person, Joseph, really was. You see, there's no mentioning him other than in the genealogy where did he come from? What kind of a person was he? Well, I'm glad that God's recorded in his word. I want us to, first of all, tonight, I'm talking about the unsung hero of Christmas. I mean, we always celebrate Mary and the Christ child, and we have the manger, and we have the sheep, and we have the donkeys, and we have, you bring it down to where we live today, we've got Rudolph and Frosty and Santa Claus, and we got all these characters that are part of our Christmas story. But nobody ever seems to mention much about Joseph. And yet God's recorded some things here in his word that I think are so important for us to look at him. I believe there's some things tonight that we might emulate in our lives, that we might take on some of these characteristics. The first thing I want you to do as we look at his character is notice, first of all, that he was a very consecrated man. The Bible introduces us there in verse number 18 by saying, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, while his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And then it says, Joseph, her husband, being a just man. Now, let that soak in for just a little bit. I mean, we know that, of course, if there's any righteousness in us at all, it came from Jesus Christ. Amen? I mean, there's all of our righteousnesses together, according to Isaiah 64, verse 6. We put them all together. It'd just be like a pile of filthy rags at the sight of God. But I'm glad to be able to tell you that God has cleansed us And he has justified us. Every one of you that are saved here tonight have been made just. I mean, let that sink in. I mean, you were a child of the devil, but you were born again into the family of God, and now your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you actually stand before God. I stand before God tonight just as if I had never sinned. I'm justified. You see, God did that by clothing me with the righteousness of Christ and taking all my sin and nailing it to his cross when he died. Amen? But I stand justified. But did you notice tonight, as we are introduced to Joseph, it says, then Joseph being a just man. Now, until next Sunday night, I am a pastor of Victory Baptist Church in Tallahena, Oklahoma. That's my being. That's where I live. That's my occupation. That's what I do. But my being tonight happens to be right here at Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. This is where I'm residing tonight. I'm trying to show you something here. When it introduces us to this person of Joseph, God looks down and he says, Joseph being a just man. Now, many of you are saved here tonight, but you're not being just. What do you mean? Preacher, I'm telling you, you're not living like you should be living. Come on. Some of y'all that you've been saved, but you know, you've gotten involved in some vice maybe or some sin that nobody else knows anything about, and you think, you know, well, I'm justified. I got news for you tonight. You're standing, yes, you're being, you're in Christ, but you're dwelling on dangerous ground. This person of Joseph, I mean, he practiced what he was. Being a just man. He was a consecrated man. That means he was a man who lived for God. It means that he was a man that, as far as the law was concerned, yes, he was blameless, but he didn't accept that. He tried to live a blameless life. Now, come on, I think every one of us, we have. If you've been saved, you've got that part inside of you that came from God that you cannot get to participate in your sin. You can call it that little voice, that picture conscience, or whatever you want to call it. There's a part of you that is born again of God, and that part of you is just. But there's another part of you, we call it the Adamic nature, we call it the old sinful flesh, that wants to revel in sin and just live as it pleases. And somehow, some way, Satan seems to have caused a lot of people to buy that argument. My Bible says when I'm introduced to Joseph that he was consecrated. As far as the law was concerned, he was blameless, but as far as his heart was concerned, he walked by faith in the Lord. In other words, he kept himself pure. He kept himself as a clean vessel, prepared for every good work, in order that God might use him. Not only that, is he a consecrated man? I see, secondly, in his character, that he was a compassionate man. Now, for just a moment, put yourself in Joseph's place. I mean, you're betrothed to Mary. And that betrothed means it's a legal contract. It's not, you know, an engagement ring. I told Jonathan and Esther that I was going to use them as an illustration. They did the most wonderful thing. Couldn't have blessed my wife's in my heart anymore when they're down for Thanksgiving. Jonathan said, Grandpa, will you take us up Buffalo Mountain? There used to be it's still up there, a fire tower, and kids could climb the fire tower, and we've had more fun up on Buffalo Mountain. I had no idea what this kid's going to do, though. He knew, and he had this most romantic thing planned out that I ever heard of in my life. got her up there on the mountain, and there's a part of that mountain where they hand glide off and jump off, and there's a sheer cliff almost 100 feet down, and they take off in those, nothing more than a kite strapped on their back. But we go up there, and Jonathan gets Esther over there, and, "Will you marry me?" And she laughs, and he's got the ring. He's got the ring open in his other hand. And Esther looks over and says, "You're serious?" "Yeah, he's serious. They didn't even let me in on what's going on up there. I'm just a chaperone." But man, I became part of what I considered one of the most romantic proposals. Now, many of you know Brett was here. I was up Saturday because Brett graduated OSU, and I would have wanted to be a part of that. But many of you don't know, does this go out before Christmas? It does? I'm going to take a chance. He showed me Sunday night. He's got a ring in his pocket. And Sashi is going down there with him. And he's going to find a more romantic way of introducing her into the Bittinger family. Maybe if that don't bless your heart, man, something wrong with your heart, right? Hey, here, you know, I'm telling you all this because here's Joseph. I mean, he's espoused to this young lady. That means there had been a legal contract that had been drawn up and had been signed in front of, well, if you'll notice there in verse number 19, though the actual ceremony had not taken place, God says, "Then Joseph, her husband," God, they ain't got married yet, no? As far as God was concerned, I mean, come on, God puts this thing together, folks. You think your kids, that God's going to let your kids grow up, and not if you're a godly person, not if you're a consecrated person, not if you're a compassionate person, God's going to be watching over your children just like he was his. Come on. You think Ken Bittinger was something special to raising kids like he did? No, God's something special. But I tell you what, he wants the same thing for your kids. Isn't it amazing, though, that here we read all this, and you're betrothed, legal marriage, no physical intimacy, by the way, and that never was in the picture. And all of a sudden, were it like scales before Joseph's eyes or what? He looked. And come on, Mary is going to have a child. She's pregnant. I don't know of anything that could break a young man's heart. I'm thinking about Jonathan. I'm thinking about Brett. I don't know of anything that could break a heart of a young man who's so anticipating this wonderful union of marriage. And then all at once, come on, find out. All of a sudden you discover somebody hasn't been faithful. And let me tell you something. Our minds are geared this way. You're going to think the worst. Come on, you are. I am. You're not going to, you know, want any explanation like, you know, rape or something like that. I mean, you just know that your heart is broken. Your dreams have been shattered. Well, this is Joseph. And yet, you see, in the midst of all these things, not anger. Somebody does you wrong. Somebody does something to you. Don't you want to get angry? Don't you want to get even? Isn't there a part of you that wants to, "Boy, you break my heart, buddy. You ain't seen blood yet." We want to try and get even. Yet, when Joseph sees all this and hears all these things, instead of reacting in anger, he responds in love and compassion towards Mary.
I mean, he seeks a way to sever their relationship without publicly humiliating her. I guess probably that's something that all of us want for our children if they ever do break our hearts. I want to be there to help, don't you? I can't think of anything worse as for one of my children to do something bad and then be afraid to come and tell Dad and Mom. I mean, Dad and Mom are going to find out. If you're a Christian, I guarantee you, Dad and Mom's going to find out. You don't get by with sin. I don't care who you are. Your sin will find you out. And as that we call this the red line, adultery and fornication. And just check your Bible. You'll find out. It's going to be found out in this lifetime. And you're not going to hide this thing and get into heaven. Here's Joseph. I mean, he's weighing his options. Now, he knew what the law said. By the way, you can go home and read it, Deuteronomy 22. He knew he had every right to take her to the law. She'd be stoned, put to death. And then he knew also that there was a clause in there. By the way, we find out it was Moses put that clause in, not God. But there's a clause in the marriage that fornication, adultery has been committed, a written bill of divorcement could be given. But you know what? That would have left Mary destitute financially and a baby being born and no father, no mother, nothing. But Joseph wanted to do what he felt like was the right thing to do. Well, anymore, it's hard to find people that want to do what is the right thing to do. They want to do, well, that's just what the law says, I can do and then something else. But he wanted to do what the right thing was. Now, imagine how the Christmas story would have been altered had Joseph reacted differently. You see, here's what I'm trying to show you now tonight. How you react in a time of crisis is going to tell a whole lot about who you are. Because I promise you, saved or lost, you're going to have crises. Eve Wilson said, I just never thought all of this could be happening right here at this time of the year. It's happening all over for a whole lot more people than what you care to think about, my friend. But what you do in a time of crisis is going to bring out the real you. These two truths, consecration and compassion concerning Joseph's character, I think they're a lesson for all of us who want to be used of God. You're going to have to exercise these two. Notice Joseph's call, though. We talked about his character. It tells us in verse 20 and 21, 22 and 23, and I'm not going to read all of them, but while he was thinking on these things, the Bible says that the Lord spoke to him and placed a call on his life like he had to Mary. And the angel in a dream, I believe, that according to this portion of scripture, came and told him what the truth was behind what was happening. Fear not, Joseph, to take Mary to be thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. Now, as Joseph is contemplating all these terrible things, then the reality of what really is happening comes to his heart and to his mind. Yeah. Now, from a purely human standpoint, it was a call that is going to place a great weight on this man's shoulders. I mean, it's a call that he's going to have to bear some shame. This call to take Mary to be a wife, it's going to involve three definite elements. First of all, it's going to be the revelation of a person. That's what it says there in verse number 20. While he thought on these things, the angel appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take to thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. I'm saying all that to say this. Friend, there is a baby that was placed inside of you when you got saved. Actually, it was the seed, the word of God, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Somebody came and shared a Christmas message with you that God loved you and that he wants you to be saved. And if you're willing to believe this book, God says, I will plant my seed inside of you. You'll be born again of the Spirit of God. Well, you know what? The Lord's call to Joseph was designed to help him deal with the hurts and the fears. I mean, the angel of the Lord told him plainly, that child is none other than the Son of God. I'm here to tell you tonight, as a Christian, you were born again. At that moment, God, you see, I've never had problems with the virgin birth because I realized when I was 22 years old, God put his Spirit inside of me. And there was a new life that entered into me. And I had an opportunity, yeah, to not allow that life to surge and grow, or I had an opportunity to let loose and let God. You got that choice. Every one of you. You see, God's no respecter of persons. His blessings that he had for Joseph back then are the same for everyone. But here's what you got to overcome. You say, boy, if I find out, people I work with or go to school with find out I'm Christian, oh, I can't imagine. The shame, embarrassment. Oh, if I could just get you to allow Christ to have a chance to live in you. And to live his life through you. That's what he wants to do. You're an ambassador for God. Jesus Christ has been put inside of you so that you might live for him down here. That's what God meant there in Romans 8:29, where he said, all things work together for good to them that love God or the called according to his purpose. I mean, God's trying to grow up a Jesus inside of every one of us, a new person. Yeah, not only was it a revelation here to Joseph of a person, but it was a revelation of a purpose. Look at verse 21. She shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. This verse tells us that what the child's gender is, what the child's name is to be, and what the child's purpose is in life. Now, my friend, God has not kept it a secret. When he saved you, he wrote your name down in a Lamb's Book of Life. A new name written down in glory. A new life, and you have a new purpose. You don't have to live like the world and act like the world and smell like the world, talk like the world. You got a new purpose for your life. I guess it's probably one thing that excited me more than anything else. You know, people talk about a second blessing. Well, I believe you got all the Holy Spirit you're going to get when you got saved, okay? But if there is such a thing as a second blessing, then I got it the night I fully realized that God had a purpose in my being in this world. You see, for 22 years, church, I tried to please Ken Bittinger. He was my God. I'd do anything that he wanted to do. And I, bar no expense, if I had to go in debt, I'd go in debt to try and please me and make me happy. I found the most beautiful woman that any young man could ever marry, and I married her. And 13 months later, thought I could say that day. 13 months later, we got our first child, Teresa. You know Teresa, some of you do, remember him? And then we got Andy. And we got Jane. And then we got Brenda. No, all these are all blessings of God. But you know what? It's because of the fact that we, I believe, recognize that God had a purpose in saving us because he wanted to show the world what he could do in your life and in my life. And he does tonight. Then there was a third thing that it revealed. It revealed a plan. And then it says that in verse 22 and 23, all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the Lord, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. When Joseph is told that God is working out his eternal purpose in the lives of Mary and Joseph, and he gets to be a part of it. My friend, if that doesn't excite you, you need to go back to square one. God's doing a work. Been doing a work in Central Baptist Church all these many years. And who's he working in and through? The people that make up this church. Not this building. Though you have a beautiful building. You praise God for it. But this building is not Central Baptist Church. You are. And all this, Joseph is an example, don't you see, to other believers. When a crisis arose in his life, he sought the Lord's face. Instead of reacting harshly and abruptly, Joseph reacted in faith and rejected what the law said he could do and the world said he could do. Joseph's call to me is an encouragement to people like you and me. Because God still wants to do something, but all we have to do is be willing to allow him to do it. So we see Joseph's character, we see Joseph's call. The last thing I want you to look at with me this evening is Joseph's conduct. It says there in verse 24 and 25, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And it says he knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Joseph. When Joseph received the call from God, he altered all of his plans. Would to God, you know, I've told people this many times. My goal and my plan in life was after I married this young lady over here, I was milking cattle for a neighbor. We were farming and milking cows together. My goal in life is one day to own my own dairy farm. And I'm in business with this neighbor because we together are going to buy the farm next to us and put in a dairy barn or a milking piler. You don't even know what that is. But anyway, we had to carry the milkers before and apply them and then carry the milk in, dump it into a 10-gallon can. This thing's going to be automated. It's going to run it all. I'm just going to sit back when I get about 100 head of cattle and I'm going to twiddle my thumbs and watch the money come rolling in. That was my dream. That was my plan. But you know what? God interrupted my dream and my plan. A little did I know that the fellow that I'm working with, and he's the one going to put his farm up so we can buy this other one, and we're going to bower enough to buy all these head of cattle and stuff. I did not know he was anti-Christian. Oh, if there was anything he hated worse than Christians, I never did find out what it was. But boy, when I got saved, he didn't want anything to do with me. And my dreams shattered. But you know what? When I found out God had another dream for me, he had a plan for my life. He had a purpose for my life. Man, I, like Joseph, here's what I'm trying to show you. Be submissive. The will of God is not something you need to be afraid of. It's your purpose in life. God has a reason for your being here. You know, yes, very simply, Joseph immediately did what the Lord told him to do. But oh, listen, all the shame and all the things that Joseph probably had thought about, yeah, they came to pass. Like his son that he's going to raise and be a surrogate father to, he had to put up with a lot of embarrassment. You know, everybody knew they weren't married, but she's going to have a child. I mean, there's actually three theories. The baby was Joseph's, or the baby belonged to Mary's secret lover, or, and this story has been circulated, Mary had been raped by a Roman soldier and was carrying a child that she had nothing to do with and couldn't help it. But Joseph just quietly took her, married her, and, of course, brought forth this firstborn son. We see his submissiveness to the will of God, and we see his obedience. Without questioning or hesitation, Joseph did what he was commanded to do. Man, what a lesson for a child of God's. Often the voice of God will come to us and we'll want to debate with God and with ourselves. And we'll want to, you know, figure out all the options and things and what we plan to do. Just be submissive. Just say, hey, I don't care, Lord, what you want me to do. I'm going to do it. I tell you what, you'll find out you're the winner in life, not the loser for doing that. I can speak from experience. 46 years we've been pastoring churches. Every place we've gone, we have brothers and sisters in Christ like you all that love us and appreciate us. Some of y'all can't even go back home for Christmas because of fights and feuds and, come on, everything else that's been going on down through the age. There's something better for your life than that. It's God. Put him first. Be submissive and then be surrendered. Notice what it says there. I mean, don't take this lightly. It says, and he knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. This verse tells us that Joseph was a man who was willing to place the will of the Lord ahead of his own rights. He respected Mary's virginity until after the Lord was born. Now, even though perhaps it was inconvenient, Joseph willingly laid aside his own rights in order that he might honor the Lord. Isn't that a remarkable thing? For somebody willing to, you know, not claim that which he wants to. This was his rights, but he said, no, I'm not going to do that. There are times, folks, when doing the will of God is not the easiest thing to do. There are times when doing his will not be the most convenient thing to do. However, I'm here to tell you tonight, doing the will of God is always the right thing to do. And we got to come to that place where we lose our will to the will of God. Let it be said that we are surrendered to the plan of God, no matter what that plan may be. God, help us tonight to be willing to come to that place. Just a few more notes and I'll be through. Eventually, Mary delivered the baby. On that great night, I can see Joseph. He's the only one there. I mean, the shepherds haven't made it yet. It didn't come till after the babe had been born. Come on. Joseph was there. Can't you see him, men, taking that young Christ child and holding it up to God? And it's his legal right. Yea, it's his divine right to name that child. And so he called his name Jesus, which means Savior. I guess probably the most wonderful thing tonight when I think about Christmas and I think about Jesus, he's not just somebody else's Savior. He's my Savior. I know him, and he's saved my soul, and he has given me life, life more abundantly. Let's take these lessons from the life of Joseph and make sure these same characteristics can be found in us, not just at Christmas time, but every day of our dwelling here on this earth. Would you do that? Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed for just a moment. I don't know, there might be someone here this evening that maybe you have not ever come to that place where you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Before we dismiss in prayer, if there's anyone here that say, "Preacher, I do want to be saved before I die, and I wish you'd remember me in prayer," before you dismiss, anyone raise their hand like that, say, "Preacher, I'm not going to come and embarrass you. I just want to pray for you." You'd say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved tonight." All right. Maybe there's a Christian here tonight. Maybe you're going through some heartaches and sorrows and things that nobody else knows anything about. And you'd say, "Preacher, would you remember me in special prayer?" Amen. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Hands going up all over. God bless you. Thank you. May put your hands down. "Preacher, pray for me. Remember me in your closing prayer." All right, let's pray. Father, again, I thank you for allowing me to be back in Central Baptist Church. This church has meant so much to us for so many years and continues to be such a blessing to my family and to our relatives and friends. I pray that you'd bless. And Father, for those that raise their hand asking for a special prayer tonight, I pray for them that you would meet whatever needs they have. I pray that you, those broken hearts and those going through times of sorrow and pain, that you might meet their needs tonight. I pray especially for the Underwood family that'll be here tomorrow for a memorial service. I pray that you would minister through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Would you say it with me? All of God's people said, "Amen." You're dismissed.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. If you have opportunity to visit Ponca City, we invite you to be present with us in our worship services. We're located just 1 mile north of the city at the intersection of Highway 77 and Coleman Road. We'd like a chance to say welcome in person. But until that time, God bless you. Have a great week, and thanks again for listening.